の一歩を踏み出す目の一歩を踏み出す初めの一歩目の一歩を踏み出す目の一歩を踏み出す初めの一歩つまずくこと。This is H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all over the world gather around and catch up on the team, whose owner has said that the team is extremely uninterested in signing any of the free agents this offseason. Yay! I'm your host, T-Ray. This is H10, episode 109, and today is October the 29th. As always, with me in the old capital, Kyoto, is JD. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It feels like it's been a long time since we've sat down and talked, although it hasn't actually been that much time since
the last podcast. Yeah.
But yeah, just some reason without daily baseball activities, it feels like there's more space in between there.
Yeah, and yet there's not a ton more substance, but there are still enough things that we can talk about to last our usual episode length. And so, it'll be fun. But so tell me, man, I heard that you did a little bit of rocking and rolling last night. You want to share with the people a little bit about that?
Yeah, no. I've joined a band here in Kyoto. It's pretty cool. The guy who leads it is a former professional musician whose wife happens to be Japanese. He settled down here in Kyoto and opened up a pizza restaurant actually here in the city of all things. But it's actually kind of doubles at a live house. So we had our first show last night. Man, I gotta say, like, we're playing like fast hard rock, and my 39-year-old body can't quite do the same as it used to do, like, what was it, 10 years ago when I played my last live show. So I'm definitely feeling the muscle pain today, for sure.
What do you play anyways?
Drums, yeah. Oh, so it's a lot, sweet. Yeah, pretty physical. So yeah, my whole right arm is just totally sore today. We've got a Halloween show in 2 more days too, so I gotta somehow recuperate from this in the next 2 days here.
Get some advice from the pitchers. What do they do to
recoup from their stuff?
Maybe QG's your guy for that. Anyways, interesting stuff, man. Well, we are going to look back on just the end of the season, the Japan series, and how that went down. We'll cut into the first rumors and news of the offseason, talk about the draft, and then we are going to look at what we think the Tigers need to do to be a better team in 2020 than they were in 2019. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
Well, you heard it. It's time for Rumors and News. So, JD, back in episode, I think, 104, we talked about guys that should be cut, could be cut, would be cut, and we got one last cut, and I think that might be the last one of 2019. On the 19th of October, Yuto Morikoshi, whom I think we both chose as a guy that should be cut, got cut.
I feel like you were a little more adamant about him being cut. I think you had your eye on him getting cut for a while, but
yeah, maybe since he signed. But so this is a guy, actually, he got cut by the Dragons in 2014, and then he did the old tryouts with the NPB scrap pile and got noticed by the Tigers, signed with us, played for us for like four or five years, and then has been cut. And this time around, he said, hey, I'm going to go for it again. I'm going back to the tryouts. This time he's got a wife and a kid. He did not have either of those last time, but, you know, he's got people to play for, and so he's going to try and extend. So I wish him the best of luck, but I'm not sad to see him leave, sorry to say. Speaking of guys that have left, man, I don't know if you have been following PJ, Pierce Johnson, either on Twitter or Instagram. Especially on Instagram, I felt like one of his posts kind of leaned towards maybe he's not coming back. You know, he had said like, oh, I had such a great time, and I just want to thank all the Hanshin Tigers fans and all my teammates. You know, you made my time in Japan really memorable. And doesn't that sound like a guy who's not coming back?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this. I mean, him not coming back would make sense on a couple of levels. I mean, the first one is obviously he just had a kid, you know, and you want to be able to spend as much time with your family as you possibly can. So
yeah,
a return to the majors, you know, hopefully for him would be a much easier way to accomplish that, obviously. And the other thing I was thinking of is sort of a Miles Michaelis kind of situation where he came over here, you know, and he sort of revived his career because obviously, I mean, he pitched tremendously well this season. And it just seems like that was sort of a showcase maybe for major league teams now to get him back into the fold over there. And man, I mean, you can't argue with either of those. So if that's the case, then so be it. I definitely am not happy to see him go, but I can kind of understand it if that is indeed what's going on.
Right. Well, I think another thing to add to the family side, you know, whether he's playing here or there, he's going to be away from his son quite a bit during the season. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that changes. But I think one of the factors in there, if I'm not mistaken, would be that he could be, well, his wife and his son would be nearer to the grandparents and to the relatives, which I think is a really big factor as well. Especially, you know, if this is the first child, and it might be the first grandchild for the Johnson grandpa and grandma. Congratulations, by the way. But yeah, it's really hard to say. I think time will tell because he hasn't said one way or the other. And so we can always hope that he will be back. And I do hope so. And of course, all of the Tigers Nation does. A couple things that happened a few days back. Both of them happened on the same day, October the 26th. We got to talk about our boy Shintaro because we always do. This is a guy that, yeah, sorry, man. You know, as some of you may know, fall camp is starting in a couple of days. And before fall camp, they have something called the Phoenix League, which kind of takes these players from the end of the farm season up until fall camp. And basically, it's the same guys that do the farm, the Phoenix League, and the fall camp. But Fujinami pitched in a game and was scheduled to go 5 innings, only made it 4 innings because he allowed just 2 hits, but also all of 9 walks.
Oh, my word.
The thing is, he didn't allow any runs. Like, think about it, 11 base runners in 4 innings. You can only allow one more base runner than that before you automatically are allowing a run. And he didn't allow any, so that's the only plus side to it. But
man, you know what? It reminds me of I can't remember which season it was, but when Matsuzaka went to the Red Sox, I remember watching a game once, and it was a similar sort of situation where he was just he gave up like maybe 2 or 3 hits, didn't allow any runs, but he was just walking everyone, and the announcers were like, you know, this is the best pitching I've ever seen that is so difficult to watch. You know, and it's just like it really reminds me of Fuji. I mean. Oh, my word. Yeah, you just see that. It's just so excruciating to watch as a fan.
So there's talk, and I read a quite logical article, and it's something that, you know, all of us have been thinking all along anyways, that a trade might be the only way out for Fujinami. Honestly, like, and the article said this, it wasn't just for Fujinami's sake, but also, I mean, if the Tigers hang on to him any longer, they're not going to get anything in return. But I think the baseball world is still aware of how much of a talent he is. And the writer of the article was, I think, a former pitcher in NPB. So somebody who knows what makes a good pitcher and what doesn't. And he said, honestly, like even 2017, when this the writer of the article was helping with the Samurai Japan team and Fujinami was on that team, he said, man, like he was on a par with Ohtani and Sugano at that time. Like basically those were the top 3 guys in Japan as far as pitching goes. So, you know, I don't think that he has been downgraded severely since 2017. He really, I mean, he's kind of been in that valley for, you know, a good 3 years. So we trade him now, we might get something for him. If we wait another year and, you know, put him through another year of mostly being on the farm, we've basically lost all of his value and basically we could write off his career, you know, which stinks for him, it stinks for the Tigers, and it stinks for baseball fans. So something's got to be done. And honestly, like you said it back on that show when we talked about who should be cut and who shouldn't. You said Fujinami needs to be traded. And I'm with you now. I wasn't then, but I am now. Anyways, as I said, 2 things happened on that day. The other one was that we acquired Kenichi Nakata from the SoftBank Hawks. It was a free trade. We got him for nothing. And basically, I also read a really good rundown on this. And this was the reason that he was just given to us, basically. It's not that he's damaged goods or that he's washed up or that he's useless. Actually, he had the best ERA as well as, I think, the most wins for any pitcher on the farm this year. Which means that he's still serviceable at age 37. The Tigers wanted him back in 2014 when he was a free agent, but he signed with the Hawks at that time. But the Hawks basically have no room for him anymore. That having been said, you know, they did have room for him for 6 years, and he did a lot for them. And, you know, they pulled the classy move of saying, instead of cutting him and saying, look, like, you can go find your own team to play with if you know, if you're good enough. And also, instead of saying to him, like, you know, if you want to sign with any other team, go for it. They're basically guarding themselves, saying, we know that he's still good, so we're going to give him to a CL team.
No competition.
Yeah. So he's not our competition. But also, we have the class of trading him instead of cutting him, because that makes a big difference on a player's in a player's ego, you know, as far as his pride
goes.
Yeah. So, you know, he had his presser today. He's going to wear number 20. So, you know, he probably will remind nobody of Rosario, our last number 20. But, you know, hopefully he puts up some better numbers than Willie did. So, yeah, that's about it for the rumors and news, except for one more bit. But we'll get to that later when we talk about the free agent crop and who should sign or who has signed with whom. So, let's do a bit of recapping. We're going to do a two-in-one here. We're going to recap a little bit of the Japan series, as well as recap the NPB draft, specifically what the Hanshin Tigers did. So actually, I did watch a decent amount of that Japan series. Not that I was rooting hard for either team, but I think more out of curiosity and, you know, because I do a bit of writing on the side for Japan Ball and stuff, I kind of feel like I need to keep up on what's going on in the games. And so just a quick breakdown, it was Hawks versus Giants, and the Hawks took game one, 7-2, game two, 6-3, game three, 6-2, and game four, 4-3. It was a sweep, and it was not really close at any point in the series. It was just all Hawks all the time. And so this was the send-off for Shinnosuke Abe. This was also the send-off for Scott Matheson, who announced his retirement. And so it's going to be a different Giants team next year. And not that they were crucial pieces to the 2019 team. Matheson was hurt a lot, and Abe was mostly pinch-hitting. But just the same, I mean, these are two leaders in the locker room that they are going to be short next season. But the interesting thing of the Japan series to me was, well, we could look at SoftBank all we wanted. I mean, the fact that they beat every CL team this decade in the Japan series is ridiculous. But they were just so dominant, and the PL has won 9 of the last 10 Japan series. And so, of course, that'll bring up the Giants hemming and hawing and saying, we need to bring a DH into the CL. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to keep up with them. So one of the things I noticed, this is a decade-long trend, and not that we can ignore it, but I looked back at the three previous decades before this past one that just ended. It was 50-50 in all the decades, 5 CL crowns and 5 PL crowns. And so this decade might be an aberration, or it might be a trend. And that remains to be seen. But what do you think about the CL adding a DH? Any thoughts on that?
Man, you know, I'm very torn, because as much as I realize that it would definitely up the level of excitement, you know, it would make the teams much more competitive. You know, the traditionalist in me is like, I don't know. I kind of feel like it's going against this sort of long tradition that we have, you know, and it's weird for me to even be saying that, because when it comes to the majors, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I'm used to the DH thing. Right. But, you know, I don't know. I almost feel like I don't like it. I mean, like I said, you know, as much as I think it would change the game for the better in a lot of ways, it just seems weird to me as something slightly unnatural. I can't quite put my finger on exactly what it is, but yeah, it just doesn't sit right.
All right. Well, I respect and value that opinion, and I used to be in that camp as well, but I have actually switched camps on this, and I want the DH, and I think it is just a way to even up the powers between the two leagues. Our pitchers kind of get the end of the order off every time around, you know, with the catcher and the pitcher being down there, or the Yamato down there, or whoever it might be, Zing. But it just means that our pitchers don't have to be as sharp. It also means that there's going to be less offense. And honestly, like, I'm tired of watching pitchers either flail away at garbage or bunting or not doing anything, just standing there and taking 3 strikes. And what is the purpose of that? And you know, I've heard so many people say this when it comes to a pitcher who's thrown a gem. I understand, you know, he's focused on the mound, right? He just wants to get back up there and finish the job. But, you know, you get the guy up there, and if he does put the ball in play, they're like, what are you doing, man? Now you have to run to first. Or, you know, if he gets a hit and then you're like, well, now you're stranded on the bases until it's your turn to pitch again. You're tiring yourself out. And it's like, well, yeah, but the point of him being at the plate is to contribute to the offense. And so if you're saying he shouldn't contribute to the offense, then don't make him part of the offense. And I really think that, you know, it would be a lot more interesting if we had the DH in the CL as well. I think it would be a much more attractive brand of ball. But I do get the traditional view, and so I'm okay with your opinion. I'm not going to say that it is wrong. It's just not right for me anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. My opinion might change. I kind of change my opinions all the time anyway. So, you know, to ask me tomorrow and I might have a totally different answer.
Well, I might ask you, but it will be off the record. Anyways, so we are going to recap our draft that took place actually just before the Japan Series started. The draft was on Thursday, October the 17th, and they always do this. It's always before the season ends, which is a little bit baffling, but at the same time, I don't understand the intricacies and timing of everything that happens in this league. So I'm not going to flat out call it stupid. I'm just going to say it is what it is. It's been this way for a long time. None of them seem to have complaints about it, and so why should I? So this draft featured two, you know, real blue chip prospects, guys that are expected to be, you know, top class pitchers, Sugano level pitchers. And so they were named Yasunobu Okugawa and Roki Sasaki. In fact, Sasaki has been scouted heavily by MLB teams and ultimately will probably end up there. Interestingly, the PL kind of chased Sasaki and the CL chased Okugawa, and that includes our Hanshin Tigers. We lost on the lotto. You know, the Swallows manager put his big meat hook into the box and pulled the winning ballot before Yano even had a chance. So we didn't get Okugawa, which is unfortunate, but we did end up picking Junya Nishi, who actually is a distant relative of Yuki Nishi. He is from Hiroshima, and we drafted him straight out of high school. He was at Koshien a couple years back as a second-year high schooler and just really was electric on the mound, really lit up the crowd, and just plays with a lot of emotion. So I think he fits Yano's style of ball quite well, and I'm excited to see what he does for the team. Round two, we got one of the stars of last year's Koshien tournament, Kota Inoue, who was the right fielder for Riseisha High School, who ended up winning the tournament. He is a slugger on the team, and he looks like a real big, beefy boy. He's 6'2", 213 pounds. If you want the conversions into metric, either do it yourself or check H10. But he hit 49 home runs as a high schooler, which is about half of what Kiyomiya did, if you remember that name from a couple years back. But still, pretty impressive nonetheless. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in. But I was hoping that they would get him, and they did. So that's good. Next, we got a left-handed pitcher out of high school as well, Masaki Oyokawa. He was apparently one of the best lefty pitchers in the draft. So I'm pretty excited about that as well. And it seems like a lot of Tigers fans were happy about that. We continue the trend picking high schoolers in round four. We got a guy named Joe Endo. And he is an infielder. He's kind of, I guess, in the mold of, to an extent, like a Hayato Sakamoto. He plays shortstop, but he's also, you know, a decent sized guy as far as not height, but rather just as far as his build. And so he's expected to actually hit quite a few home runs as well. He hit 45 in his home run in his high school career, so not too far off of Inoue's pace. Round five, we picked another high schooler, a catcher named Kento Fujita. I was hoping we were going to get a couple catchers, but we only got just the one. But he apparently has just got a ridiculous pop time of 1.79 as his best, which is comparable to the best guys in the pros. Mm-hmm. So pretty good stuff there. We finally dipped into the university well in the sixth round with a pitcher named Ippei Ogawa. And he had a string of bad luck in his high school and university days, so he didn't play a ton of ball, but he's got a lot of great tools. So they're hoping that he will contribute. And then that was the end of our main draft, and then we went into the developmental draft and got a couple of outfielders, one whose name is Dan Onodera, And he is out of Osaka Commercial University. And then we also picked up a guy named Kota Okuyama with our second pick in the development player draft. So a couple of guys that are hopefully going to, you know, make it happen down the road. I always want to root for guys like that because they're getting paid, you know, a pittance for, you know, sacrificing a chance at any other career. And so I hope that they end up hitting, you know, the jackpot eventually. So there you go. Just to quickly recap, we picked five straight guys out of high school, two pitchers, one outfielder, one infielder, and a catcher. And then we got another pitcher in round six. Then we got a couple of outfielders, both around 22 years old, in the development round. Any thoughts, not necessarily on the guys themselves, but the way that the team drafted this year?
Man, I mean, talk about a difference from last year. I mean, last year it was like straight industrial league. I mean, so where did Shikamoto and Kinami come from? I mean, they came from Honda, was it? Or am I? No. Osaka Gas.
Yeah. And Kinami was Honda.
No, it's just amazing to see the difference between like the straight industrial league last time it seemed and now straight high school this time. So, big difference there. And I sort of wonder, you know, who was sort of behind those decisions?
Well, what I think is that, you know, Yano was the farm manager in 2018, right? And then he got called in to be the manager real suddenly, and then he was in the draft right away. Well, you know, the farm team doesn't only play other farm teams. They also play industrial league teams, and they also play BC league teams. So we had a couple of guys out of BC league as well, which is an independent league that plays kind of a little bit kind of northeast of us. And so I can't help but wonder if Yano and his coaches, who also ended up on the Ichigun coaching staff this past year, if they just picked guys that they saw while they were playing in these games, saying, hey, I really like the tools that this guy showed when we played him. And obviously, you know, the scouts will have some say, but I think maybe Yano had a bit more say last year, and then this year maybe he gave it a little bit more up to the scouts. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my thinking.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see. I mean, it seems like, again, you know, you never know how any of these guys are going to pan out yet.
But yeah.
It seems like they're thinking a little more long-term, you know, this year than perhaps they were last season, which I like. You know, I mean, this team has definitely an issue with developing its younger players, so I'm hoping that this somehow, you know, translates into them being able to develop these guys a little bit better than they have within, you know, recent years.
Yeah, exactly. So last year, obviously, you know, we finished last place in 2018, and so there was a sense of urgency, like we need to get some players that can be plugged into the lineup right now. And that's what we did in picking up Chikamoto and Kinami. And we were hoping with Yukiya Saito as well, who was picked out of Industrial League. He didn't quite work out as well, but there's still time for that. And then this year, I think they kind of took a little bit more of a laid back approach and said, we need to start building for the future as well. And I think so, as much as, you know, I like what I've heard about a lot of these guys that we picked, I'm still a little bit concerned just that we have put a little bit too much in the future and not enough in the here and now, because, you know, I think a lot of people are getting a little bit too excited about the fact that we finished in third place, made the playoffs, and had such an amazing run at the end of the year, and even, you know, made it through to the final round of the Climax Series.
Wait, aren't you the guy who just on the last podcast picked the Tigers for finishing first next season, though?
Yes. Thank you for calling me out on my own shenanigans.
I couldn't resist.
But so this is a team, though, honestly, like, there's still a lot of things wrong with this team. There's a lot of things that need to come together, and, you know, I have belief in a lot of the guys that were in the farm system or that were hurt, that they're going to come back stronger than ever. I also have belief that we are going to pick up a couple of key pieces this offseason. So I still have reason to believe that we're going to win the pennant, but I also think maybe we didn't address some of the needs that, you know, we need some plan Bs or some guys that can be plugged in case, like, for example, you know, I'm looking at guys like Saiki and Ono and Akiyama and even Hamachi and Mochizuki to come in and take up at least two or three of those rotation spots. But will they?
Yeah. Now, what do you think? I mean, out of these draft guys, is there anybody you see here that you feel like might be able to come in like this, even just this next year, and make like an impact, like if not at the start of the season, like maybe halfway through? Any guys stand out to you?
Well, I mean, Nishi seems, you know, he's quite the attractive piece there for sure. He is, you know, he's already over 190 pounds and he's just 6 feet tall. So he's, you know, he seems to be quite well built. You know, compare that to a guy like Oyokawa, who is only 163 pounds and about the same height. So, you know, we're talking about like a 30 pound difference between these two guys. And so physically speaking, I would say maybe that Nishi's a little bit more ready than Oyokawa. Inoue, I think, needs to get used to, you know, Inoue was, you know, a great hitter at Koshien, but he wasn't facing elite pitching. He also was not using a wooden bat. And I think maybe, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's fat, but I think maybe he needs to just trim up a little bit and just, like, get a little bit more chiseled before he's going to be an impact player. So I don't think 2020 is this season for him. Mm-hmm. So honestly, like, it's hard to say. Fujita, there's no place for him right now because Umino is going to take up almost every game at catcher, and we've got plenty of other options. Endo also, we've got a lot of middle infielders that he has to kind of beat to get there. So yeah, it's hard to say. You know, Ogawa coming out of university, but he's a sixth round pick, and obviously that doesn't mean anything once you hit the playing field. But I don't know. I don't know if any of these guys are going to have a big impact, but I'm sure we'll see at least a couple of them on the top squad at some point during the year.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel the same. I mean, I'm looking at guys like Saiki, you know, and I'm thinking, when are these guys going to come around and start to contribute more, you know, before our draft picks do? You know, it seems like guys like Saiki and, yeah, even Ono and whatnot have kind of been surpassed by our recent draft picks like Chikamoto and whatnot. So it'd be nice to see everybody sort of start developing at the same level here, but I guess we'll sort of have to wait and see if that actually happens.
Yep, as is the case with all drafts. And so, you know, like we end up right now, or at least even if they don't make an impact in 2020, I think that we have set a good foundation. But you never know with these drafts, you know, like after the 2018 draft, a lot of people were down on Yano and down on the Tigers going, what are you doing picking Chikamoto? Who is this guy? Why Kinami in the third round? And guess what? We aren't saying that anymore.
No, man, I'll be totally honest with you. Like, when I saw Chikamoto, I was very underwhelmed. I was like, who? Chika what? And then he's proved me wrong. So, you're right. You absolutely never know what's going to happen with this stuff. So, hopefully we get another Chikamoto-type situation with one of these guys here.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, I've got a little bit of a Yano, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, go for it, man.
Yano. It's nothing that Yano has done wrong, as a matter of fact, but I didn't actually find any clear article that could verify this, but I heard that he actually bought custom-made suits for the whole coaching staff at season's end, and maybe even, again, I don't remember the extent of what I read, but maybe even for the team. But even if he bought them just for the coaching staff, what a man. I mean, that's class right there. I mean, that was from his own pocket, too. It wasn't, you know, from the team or anything like that. Anyways, the meat and potatoes of the show is yet to come. We want to talk about the off season and what this team needs to do to prepare for 2020. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Hot topics. Hot topics. So the first thing that I want to look at is the free agent market. And this is one that could take no time to talk about because almost none of the guys that are eligible for free agency are taking it. So let's go through the list. With the Carp, Nomura and Aizawa and Matsuyama have all said they're staying with the Carp. And Kikuchi is hoping to get posted to the majors, apparently. Mm-hmm. With the Giants, there's Sugano and Sawamura, but neither of those guys is going anywhere. I can guarantee you that. Even Sugano is not going to go to the majors. He said, I love the Giants. And, you know, I think him and Sakamoto are both just happy being superstars in Tokyo and not willing to take the chance. And with the Bay Stars, Hikaru Itoi, their catcher, re-signed with the team and said he's really happy to be there. So he's there for four more years. So that's basically it for the Central League free agents for the most part. In the Pacific League, there are a few guys of interest. But first, we'll talk about the guys that we're probably not going to get. And that would be Takahiro Norimoto, who was with the Eagles. He's their ace pitcher. And I think he has re-signed with the Eagles already. And then they have another, I think he's kind of their number three pitcher, and that would be Manabu Mima. Mm-hmm. Apparently, though, he wants to play in the Kanto area. His wife is kind of a celebrity, and you know, she's based in Tokyo, so I think they want to stay in that area. So no chance for the Tigers on that. The SoftBank Hawks have a kind of fourth outfielder, or an outfielder that doesn't get much time to be a regular player, and that would be Shuhei Fukuda. He looks really good. He's a lefty hitter, though, but I don't think the Tigers are going to go for him. I have not heard anything about them showing interest in him. And then there's a couple of guys with the Chiba Lotte Marines. One is Daichi Suzuki, but it definitely looks like he is going to be going to the Giants or staying with the Marines. Now, he's the captain of the Chiba Lotte Marines right now. So they're hoping, of course, that he will stay and show loyalty to a team that is clearly on the rise. I mean, they have a lot of good young talent. But the Giants apparently are looking to put him at second base, where he has not played for 2 years. And 2 years ago, he was terrible at second, apparently. I was reading some forums from Lotte fans, and they were like, what are the Giants thinking? Like, there's no way he could be an adequate second baseman.
Hey, go Giants. Do it. Do it. Definitely do it.
They keep signing second baseman or trying to make a good second baseman. They haven't had one for over two decades. So, yeah, good luck with that one as well. The other one, though, is there. I think he was either the setup guy or the closer with the Marines. And that was, I think his name's Naoya Masuda. And early talks, I saw that he was going to be going to the Giants, but now I also have read that the Tigers are interested in him. So it would be interesting to see what they do. He is apparently, I guess, like an unorthodox pitcher. Like, he doesn't throw in the three-quarter slot or the overarm slot. So he's maybe a sidearmer. I'm not really sure. I've never seen him pitch, but... you know, we always welcome more pitchers, and especially the way our bullpen really got leaned on so heavily, we need to give them a bit more rest. And so bring in another guy that we can lean on heavily. Sure, why not? So the one guy that I have purposely ignored is the one guy that I really hope the Tigers have to try and get, and I really hope they get. And this goes against every ethical, moral bone in my body. But as a Tigers fan, I think we need Vladimir Ballantyne on this team. Come on down, big boy, Coco. We want you, or I do anyways. And I've heard other fans, you know, muttering about how the Tigers need to go for him as well. Any initial thoughts from you before I jump into my reasons that we do need him?
Okay, I think it's never going to happen. So I'm just going to say that right off the bat.
Yeah, probably.
And the reason is, you have to think about, the main reason for me is that, think 2 years ago, there was a certain game where our favorite pitcher, Fujinami, was on the mound, and he beamed a Yakult Swallows player by the name of Yuhei, which led to a benches-clearing brawl, and none other than our current manager, Yano, drop-kicked Mr. Ballantyne. Kind of an unsuccessful dropkick, unfortunately, but I sort of wonder, you know, if there's some bad blood still there. And I mean, obviously, you know, I know that players and managers obviously can get over this stuff if they absolutely need to, but I sort of wonder. I wonder if Yano's thinking, like, you know what? I mean, because Yano seems like the kind of guy who places a lot of importance on sort of team cohesiveness. You know, people, everybody sort of not necessarily getting along, but he seems to value that kind of stuff more than a sort of robotic approach to managing team personalities. And I don't know. I sort of wonder if he's really going to be on board with that.
Okay, but
so that would be my first reservation with that whole thing. I've got a couple others, but I'll let you respond.
Fujinami will never face Ballantyne ever again in a game if we don't trade Fujinami and if we sign Ballantyne. And if you remember, Ballantyne refused to stand in the batter's box when Fujinami was a starter or when Aoyagi was a starter in the last two seasons. And so that's one incentive for him to come here. He will never have to face Aoyagi ever again.
Okay.
So, and same thing with Fujinami. The other one is that... maybe he and Yano can set up a little bit of like wrestling time after practice or whatever. You know, Yano might be willing to sacrifice in order to have Ballantyne in the lineup. Say, hey, if you need to get out some frustration and throw me to the ground again, bring it on, big boy.
Yeah. I don't know. With Ballantyne, I mean, the other thing, issues that I have, I think, is...
Tell me.
I don't know. You sort of have to balance it out. And I suppose, you know, his 30-plus home runs and like 100 RBIs definitely outweigh... his terrible defense, you know, his jogging over to the ball that makes Itoi look like a gold glover here. But I don't know. I just, man.
We've put up with Jogging Boy for long enough with Itoi. So why not do it like Can Itoi and bring Ballantyne in? The other one is this. We got a certain stolen base king in center field who can maybe cover a few extra steps, you know, can cheat mm-hmm. a little bit towards left. And then if we can put somebody with competence in right field, not Itoy, that is, mm-hmm. Then I'm okay with Ballantyne being there and with his lousy defense. Something's got to give, right? I mean, you know, you know, and with all love and respect to Matt Merton, his defense was not spectacular either, and we put up with that as well. You know, his defense is definitely better than Ballantyne's, but his offensive production as far as home runs is significantly lower than Ballantyne's as well.
Yeah. We need a power hitter too. So, I mean, begrudgingly, I will agree with you. Like, I think there's I have a lot of reservations, but as like maybe a short-term stopgap kind of thing, I can see definitely signing him for next year. You know, just offering some protection too. I mean, we'll talk about where people are going to, you know, slot in the lineup, but I think having someone who can hit that many home runs in the lineup will help everybody else too in a lot of ways too. So
so dig on these numbers from last season, and granted it's just one season, so it's a small sample, but Ballantyne played 9 games at Koshien Stadium. He hit .346 with 5 home runs during that time.
Oh man.
So you talk about, you know, Koshien being a vast, expansive stadium. Well, it means nothing to a guy like of Ballantyne's power. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if he did it at that pace, I mean, he would hit like 40 home runs just at Koshien alone next year, which, you know, obviously is not going to happen. But if he could do half of that, like if he hits 5 home runs every 18 Koshien games, that's still 20 home runs at Koshien, which would, you know, that could put him upwards of, you know, 35 to 40 home runs on the year, just depending on how healthy he stays. But yeah, and I mean, like, this is also a guy that you could put in for, you know, a good 3 at-bats and then bring in a defensive replacement at the end of games. So it's not like they would be forced to play him from inning 1 to inning 9. The other thing about Ballantyne is, you know, this team is so, as we've said, there's such a dearth of power on this team. And also, there's been this problem with balancing import players and the limitation that is on that. Well, he's not an import player anymore as far as his spot on the roster. So he'd count as a Japanese player. So we could, for example, have Marte at first base, Ballantyne in left, and still have room possibly for another Gaijin hitter, which would do wonders, assuming that it's a good Gaijin hitter, would do wonders for our lack of power.
That's a really good point, yeah. I mean, the other thing too is that Ballantyne has been in Japan for a long time, so it's not like you're picking up some guy who has never set foot in the country and has no idea like what the change in scenario is going to do to his baseball game. This is a guy who's been here for a long time, who knows the ins and outs. And like you said, he obviously can hit at Koshien as well. So it's not just taking this huge gamble, I guess. So you're convincing me, you're turning me to the dark side little by little here, but oh man, I still...
So we have success anyways at stealing or at signing other teams' import hitters. You look at guys like George Arias, he came from another team. Craig Brazel came from another team. There's one more that I'm forgetting right now, but there have been a few guys that have come in from other teams and done great stuff with us. Whereas when we bring guys over on our own, we don't tend to do as well. So that's another... that's another point for Ballantyne, or another reason to pick him. The other one, speaking of you saying like, oh, I'm willing to put up with, or like being sold over to the dark side, Ballantyne is not a nice guy. Well, okay, sorry. If you're listening to this, you are a nice guy. And if you're not listening to it, you're not a nice guy.
You don't want to run into him on the street get done trashing him, right?
Like... Yeah. Well, no, basically what I'm saying is his reputation is that he is a little bit of a bad boy. And, you know, he's found himself in trouble with the law, and that's fact. So I'm not trying to spread rumor here. But I think the team needs that to balance some of the nice guy, or all of the nice guy that our team has. I mean, we just seem to be a team of nice guys, and sometimes you just need that bad boy to say, you know what, I don't care if it takes, you know, playing a little bit dirty, or, you know, mouthing off to the other team's pitcher or whatever. Like, yeah, it's not classy, but you can't have a team of angels and win, you know, and Anaheim is proving that, right?
Well, I mean, you know, it's also funny, like, just to sort of close this out, I guess, is that I was watching some TV program about baseball a little while ago, and they had a few of Ballantyne's teammates on there. And they were saying, actually, that although he comes across as that sort of bad boy kind of jerks now and then, sort of personality kind of thing, they said that when you're on the same team with him, he's actually a great teammate, and that he's very friendly and approachable and all that stuff. So it's hard to say, you know, the whole personality thing might actually not factor in as much when he's on the same team with these guys. So I don't know. Yeah, I still, you know, I wonder though. I still have a feeling that he's going to go to a PL team. I just feel like, you know, his defense being what it is, if he can sort of sit out the whole outfield thing and just go into hit when he needs to.
I've heard he doesn't want to be a DH, though. That's the thing. And he also wants a multi-year
deal. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there as well. But, you know, it's also, you know, we still don't know who's gonna try and sign him, you know? Like,
yeah.
There could very easily be a Giants swooping in and stealing him from everybody else, or maybe not. They might be hands-off. Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right. So one more thing we neglected, and that is that Hanshin actually has 5 guys on the free agent market, but none of them are showing any signs of wanting to leave. And so right now I think the team is trying to bring them all back. They would be Hiroki Uemoto, Atsushi Nomi, Kyuji Fujikawa, Kosuke Fukudome, and Shunsuke, the Fujikawa as well. But it looks like they're all going to be back.
Out of those guys, you know, Shunsuke seems like the only one who's really the odd man. I mean, maybe Uemoto too, considering that our infield seems to be pretty solid at this point. But yeah. But I still think Uemoto has more of a role. Like, if somebody does get injured, he's the kind of guy who can slot in there really well and actually make more of a difference, I think.
Yep.
With proper playing time. Shunsuke, man, I don't know. Like, especially if we pick up somebody like Ballantyne, there's just fewer spots for him in the outfield. So,
well, he could be the defensive replacement at game's end. But
that's a good point.
The thing about guys like him is that, you know, like Egoshi has also got the corner on that as well. You know,
right. Right.
And Egoshi's got other tools to offer that Shunsuke doesn't anymore. So, yeah. All right. So we kind of talked a little bit about that one big bad import. And, you know, I think the team needs to sign more. And there has been talk of a couple of guys. I don't remember their names, and right now, since it's just rumor and nothing is final, we're not going to really talk about it, but I've heard that the team is going to possibly sign 2 import fielders, which is good news, and then we'll see what happens with the pitchers, but obviously, we've still got, at least from this past season, we have Garcia and Dolis and Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, Yenqin Liu, who's probably going to end up on the farm, at least for the time being, but we'll see. I mean, always rooting for him as well. But what do you think as far as what does this team need to really like shore up on? And obviously power is the big one, but anything else that you think the team really needs to work on this offseason to get better for next year?
Well, beyond power, I think they just need another starter, like a good number 2, number 3 starter in the rotation. Because, I mean, it's at this point, it's Nishi's our ace. Beyond that, I mean, you know, what I worry about is that we have another sort of Iwasada or Akiyama type of situation where, specifically with Aoyagi, right, where you have a guy who produces really, really well one season and then just completely drops off the map the next season. And I really would like to see the team get a guy who is reliable, dependable, can produce, you know, for a good 3 or 4 seasons straight in the rotation to back up Nishi after that. Having that sort of 1-2 punch, which, again, you know, depending on how other guys perform, it could be a 1-2-3 and even 4 punch.
Yeah.
But I would really like to see them add a major piece to the rotation somehow.
The problem is, there's nobody on the free agent market right now. I mean, we're kind of hoping to be able to pull Yusuke Nomura from the CARP, but he has decided to stay with them. So, and Mima apparently wants to go to Kanto, so that leaves him out of the picture as well. So, yeah, that's going to be a tough one. I think as far as skills, I wasn't talking about acquisitions necessarily, but rather what skills they need to shore up on.
Oh, okay.
And
I see.
The defense is it. The defense is something that, you know, like the 102 errors this past season was just atrocious. But it went beyond that. I mean, it was also just plays that didn't get recorded as errors, and our defense didn't look sharp. And that is going to make the difference between them either being a championship team or not in the near future. Let's look right now at just a couple of things, and it's so early to do this, but who would you say are your ideal starters at every position on the field? We'll go through them one by one, and I think some of them will be pretty quick, but catcher.
Oh, Umeno, of course.
Yeah, that's a no-doubter. I think that he might even be a best 9 this year in the CL. I think he was the best catcher in the CL, and there's no doubt, like, at the start of the season, I think Yano was still saying, hey, it's anybody's job, but not anymore. It's nobody but Umeno. First base, Marte, or do you think we need to bring in somebody else to be the starter there?
Well, I mean, what's the situation with Marte now? Have they officially re-signed him, or is it still up in the air?
No, it's looking like they will, but nothing's finalized.
I mean, if they can find someone that's clearly better than him, then I guess they'd have to move on him, you know? But I mean, I would be totally happy with him coming back, especially if you have someone, for example, like Ballantyne batting behind him, you know, just like you had mentioned this, I think, on the last podcast. One of the things with Marte is that he has no protection in the lineup.
Yeah.
And so pitchers are a lot more selective. They pitch around him a lot more. If they can't do that, I have a feeling we'd see his power game jump a lot. Yeah. So, I like him. I think that he really did everything he needed to do. The power wasn't quite there, but, you know, like we just said, that could change depending on who else they get. So,
yeah. Okay, second base.
I mean, it's got to be the same as we had this year. I think, you know, it's going to got to be Itohara.
Mm, okay. I'm not really sure if I fully agree with that. I mean, I do kind of like his style of play, but I feel like he doesn't really stand out at anything. His defense is not great. His batting average is not great. His on-base percentage is. Maybe that's his standout thing. His speed is not great. His power is not great. And I kind of feel like if somebody else can break through, then we should go with somebody else maybe. Or maybe it needs to be a platoon thing. Maybe him and Uemoto can share duties depending on who the opposing pitcher is, or depending on how, you know, depending on Uemoto's health as well. But
let me qualify what I said. I don't think that the team is going to go with anyone but him, I think. So I think that's just what's probably going to happen.
Yeah, you don't need to predict, but rather like what's the ideal for you is kind of what I'm So what about shortstop then?
You know, Kinami, I mean, aside from his defense, I think that he, especially at the end of the season, he really showed what he's capable of. I am all for giving him another chance. I really would like to see the defense improve. But aside from that, I can't really complain at this point, and I can't see anybody coming along that's a sure shot to replace him. I mean, it's not like they're going to get Kikuchi from the Carp, and I just wouldn't really like him on the team anyway. So I'm good with Kinami where he is.
Well, the thing about Kinami is he also hit .385 in Phoenix League, so he is continuing to show that he's way too good for Nigun, and you know, maybe he is the start of the future. But what about Hojo? I mean, Hojo did pretty good there as well, and you know, that brings us also to third base. Do we keep Oyama there as the ideal third baseman, or do we give that to Hojo, or should it be platoon? That's a real tricky one. And again, with Hojo, you know, what stands out about him? His power is not outstanding. His speed is not outstanding. His defense is not great. So it's really tricky. But I guess the same could be said of Kinami, really. I mean, you know, he's obviously still growing, being a second-year player. But, you know, he and Hojo are the same age. So it's not like going with Kinami gives us a better future or anything like that.
I mean, well, that sort of brings us into third base here and what you do with Oyama, because that affects the other stuff too, man. Again, you know, like my ideal, honestly, it's hard to say, but I don't know about Oyama, man. I've got a lot of reservations about him. I feel like there's something there. It might almost be like sort of a Fujinami kind of thing where it's not his stuff, his raw power or anything like that, but it's more the psychological thing. And I don't know, you know, if I know the team's going to go with him and they're going to keep him there, you know, so I feel like we got to make the best with what we have. But ideally, man, I don't know. I don't know if he's the kind of guy we really want there. That might sound somewhat blasphemous to say, but I don't know. I just got to say it.
No, I think one of the big mistakes that Hanshin made was giving him the position outright and not letting anyone really compete for it through the first 100 games of the season.
Good point.
And I think that having Hojo step in and do a decent job there was a big eye-opener for everybody that, hey, Oyama is not the only option. And we can do just fine without him in the lineup. And they did. I would also like to see them maybe pick up like an Eric Campbell. A Gaijin that could... sorry, Soup. Pick up a Gaijin that could take up some of the time there at third base. Or at least compete. And I think getting back to signing Gaijin, I think they really need to make clear to these guys, look, like, you're not going to be guaranteed the position. So if you're coming over here expecting to stay on the top squad and be given, you know, the starting role, that's not how we roll, because that was the Solarte problem, and it kind of was the problem with Campbell and with Haig and with Rogers and with all these guys that left after 1 year, being banished and being farmed very suddenly. Just I think it really hurt their egos. All right, then let's look at the outfield, and I think if we start in center, we're both just going to say one name and move forward. So
Shunsuke,
you got me. I was going to say it and you beat me to it. So I think especially if Chikamoto changes his first name to Shunsuke, I'm totally on board with that. And how about then, you know, okay, I'm saying ideal starter is Ballantyne in left, but what do you think? Because we've also, you know, we've got Fukudome and Itoi, and what do we do with them? And then also guys like Nakatani and Takayama, you know, and what do we do with them?
There is. So see, that's the thing, you know, it kind of hurts to say like, okay, we're going to pick up Ballantyne as like a 1 year stopgap. And then in the meantime, okay, well, what are guys like Takayama going to do? You know, I mean, Takayama is the potential that guy has is tremendous, I think. And I mean, this year he wasn't terrible either. So I feel like, you know, sort of setting his development back. I mean, I guess I shouldn't talk about a development at this point because he's been with the team for a long time. But, you know, giving him less playing time for just sort of the 1 year stopgap type of guy just doesn't quite feel right for me. But then again, it's like you have to put the winning team on the field, you know. And yep. That just might be what they have to do. I mean, with Itoi, there's no way with his, you know, his contract is for this next year. He, aside from the injury that he had, you know, he hit for average really well. Fukudome obviously is producing well enough to keep him in the lineup as well. So I think a platoon situation like you mentioned before, I think with him and Itoi is probably the best way to go. So that really doesn't leave much of an option for these other guys. So,
okay, I'm going to actually say, remember, this is ideal. So I'm going to say that Ballantyne does sign with the team and Chikamoto is in center. And I'm putting Takayama in right because I think that he's the guy. I mean, he really stepped up towards the end of the year, especially when Itoi fell down and couldn't get back up again. And there's no guarantee that Itoi is going to be healthy in his final year. And I don't care about the contract because, you know, we're taking Toritani off the books. We've got Messenger off the books. And so we've got money to burn. So why not let, you know, 38-year-old Itoi earn his $4 million from the bench? Really, I think that he could be an X factor in other ways. And same thing with Fukudome. I think Fukudome would be one of the most deadly 43-year-old pinch hitters in the history of baseball. And I think like it's time to not even put him in the field as much as possible. Obviously, you know, if we don't sign Ballantyne, everything changes. And that probably means everything that we're talking about changes. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking as far as that goes. All right. We are going to now look at the starting rotation. What do you think as far as the ideal starting rotation goes? So I think we can both agree that Nishi is going to be the opening day starter. Let's name some other guys that we'd like to see in the rotation. And I'm going to start and I'm going to say I want to see Hiroto Saiki. I think he's probably got the best potential out of any of our guys that weren't in there this year. I want to see him in the rotation next year.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that 100%. I mean, we've seen flashes of this in the past, and it would be nice to see it actually take sort of full form here.
Yep.
With him, you know, stepping up and being a full force throughout the whole season. So, yeah, I agree with that 100%.
For sure. Okay, who else you got?
Well, I mean, Aoyagi's obviously earned his spot there after this year, I think. And like I said, I just hope it's not a fluke. I hope he can come in and continue to produce. And I have a feeling that he can. I mean, he's got that weird delivery, I think. I don't think it's the kind of thing that you really learn, you know, what's coming at you, you know, as a batter too well. So it's, you know, probably hard to figure out. And I think that he can probably follow it up this year pretty well, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as well. And I would say on that note, Haruto Takahashi as well. I think this year, you know, he took his lumps and he learned a lot. And hopefully he seems like the kind of kid that is going to build on what happened this year. You know, he didn't have a successful year by any means, but he showed what he's got. And there were games that he was brilliant. And so I would put him in the rotation. Now, what do you think about guys like Taiki Ono and Takumi Akiyama and Yuta Iwasada? I mean, we've named four guys. And then there's also Atsushi Mochizuki and Masami Hamachi. These are also young guys that are hoping to come up and make a dent. And then there's also our new guy, Kenichi Nakata, the new old guy. What do you think? Like, who would you like to fill up the rotation with? If you could name two guys right now from these guys that I've just listed.
Oh, man, that's really tough. I'm not sold on Mochizuki yet, so I'm gonna say that he needs a little more time on the farm to just develop and settle down a little bit. Iwasada, man, I feel like, I guess I might be sort of biased just based on that 1 year that he had that was really good, but I'd really like to see him come in. And I've liked Akiyama a lot as well, too. I think that his control is always a breath of fresh air after watching someone like Fujinami. So, you know, those two guys I would really like to see perform really well. Ono is kind of a mystery to me. You know, I'm not really sure what he represents to the team right now. Is he more of a reliever? Is he more of a starter? And in that sense, I just don't feel confident having him in the rotation. So I guess if it was out of those guys that you mentioned, Iwasada and Akiyama, I'd like to see them step up.
Okay. I'm completely with you on Iwasada, for sure. I think that we need one more southpaw in the rotation as well, with just Haruto in there so far. And then Akiyama, yeah, I could see a case for him, but I really think that Taiki Ono needs to live up to the bill, the potential that he has, and mm-hmm. you know, he was drafted as a starter. I think he's got the tools to be a starter, and he needs to figure it out. He was drafted right after Oyama in that same draft, and so if those 1-2, you know, if they could actually break through, we would have a pretty amazing team in 2020. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. That is what we think the team needs to do, and those are the guys that we want to see in the lineup on the top squad next year. So Yano-san, you know that if you don't do this, we're going to Yano all over you next year. So make it happen, buddy.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
All right, let's wrap things up just with a little bit of fun. The predictions of what you think is going to be the biggest story this offseason for the Hanshin Tigers.
Well, you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and it's kind of been a thread throughout the show in other ways too, but I think Fujinami is gone. I think finally somebody is going to say it's time to move on, and I think he's going to get traded. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, you know, what form it's going to take in terms of who we get with what team, but I think that this is going to be the season where we finally say goodbye to him. And I don't mean that in a good way. I'm really sad to see it happen, you know, when it does happen, but I think it's going to happen this offseason.
Okay, here's a thought I just had. I don't know if it would happen. I don't think that Oryx would bite on this, but if we traded him to Oryx and we got Masataka Yoshida from them, outfielder, man, that would be amazing. That's, come on guys, come on, let's do it. They're about the same age, you know, and Yoshida is, he's outstanding, but I don't think that we could get him for just Fujinami. So maybe we parcel we package Fujinami with, you know, somebody else, and we make that happen. Because the thing with Yoshida is, as soon as he gets free agency, man, he is out of Oryx. You know, he is not going to stay there. So, you know, why don't they cut him loose early? You know, cut their losses and go for it. Yeah, that's an interesting off-season story. We forgot to mention about Toritani. He is getting some interest from the Bay Stars, and I could see him and Yamato fighting for time at shortstop next year with the Bay Stars. I don't know if that's the biggest story this off-season, but I think maybe the big story might... I'm just going to hope, against all hope, that Ballantyn is going to be a Hanshin Tiger. Hmm. That's going to be it, and that he is going to... Yeah, he's going to come in here and make a big splash. So we'll see what happens, though. So thank you once again for your time and your passion for this Hanshin Tigers team. I know it's the off season, but the talking never stops with T-Ray and JD, because we love the Tigers. You love the Tigers. Keep looking for us. The podcast is out there on all the major catchers. The website is still alive and kicking. The Twitter is still there. The Instagram is dormant, but it's still out there. Follow us, and you will get the news that you need to be ready for the 2020 season. So until that season comes around, let's keep cheering for these Tigers until all the key players that we want on the team join the team and we go for the pennant in 2020. See you next time, everybody.
Let's go, Tigers.
It's your boy. Come on. Know that it's your boy. Hanshin Tigers, it's your ball. Come on, you know that it's your ball.